This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And, Mark, all I can say is 12.
12 is the number, Patty, and it's too big a number, really. The Texans lost their 12th in a row, falling to the Indianapolis Colts 25-3. And it was just one of those rough afternoons in Indy. We've seen plenty of them over the years. Unfortunately, all the changes that interim coach Wade Phillips put into play really did make a difference in the short term. We did have our HCC go-get-it moment when Jonathan Joseph picked off a pass by Andrew Luck, and you thought, hey, maybe that was in the first half. Maybe this is going to be their day. Maybe they can get some momentum off of it. They were able to get a field goal out of that situation, but the Texans really couldn't get enough going, Patty, to win this football game.
Well, and being the eternal optimist that we are, let's talk about just a few other positive things. There were a few. Ryan Griffin had a nice day. Randy Bullock kicked another field goal, his ninth straight.
Yeah.
And Joe Mays had a nice game on defense.
Yeah, Joe Mays, 13 tackles to lead the Texans. I thought it was a good performance. I think Joe Mays is a nice pickup by Rick Smith, considering they got him off the street. Available for this team. They needed him desperately because Brian Cushing went out. Daryl Sharpton is still playing, but he's been banged up. And you know the rest of the story. Also, Ryan Griffin with 6 catches, a career best for him. So good news for the tight end. He's also unfortunately fined for a hit at the goal line. And you know that basically amounts to half of his check, which is too bad. But Griffin, I think, is a good player to watch in the future. 6th round draft choice, UConn. And Randy Bullock, like you mentioned, Patty, they stuck with him. He's made 9 in a row now, and I'd love to see him make another big kick before the season's out, maybe against Denver on Sunday.
Oh, that would be nice. Before we get to that, let's find out what the players had to say about the last one.
I was bad today, you know, and my teammates deserve better. My coaches deserve better. You know, there's stuff that they tell me during the week multiple times, and, you know, something goes in the game and just make the wrong decision. And if I knew what it was, I'd tell you, you know. And just not making the play when I need to. And you know, it hurts me for my teammates, letting those guys down, letting my coaches down, letting the fans, Texan fans down, because they deserve better too.
That was, you know, pretty frustrating, to say the least, you know, and we wanted to compete in this game, you know, and we know we had never won here, and we know we wanted to change that, but, you know, it just didn't happen, you know, and once again, too many penalties, and, you know, it's hard to explain.
I mean, several factors, you know, that weigh into that, so, I mean, we just got to, you know, we just got to get back on track. First half we was running the ball pretty well, so I felt like you know, that was a positive. You know, when you run the ball well like that, you know, that usually helps, you know, with our play action game. And so I mean, I don't know, we just gotta keep building on the little positives that we do have.
It's tough. It's very tough to swallow. You know, coming into the season, we felt like we was going to be a lot better team than what we're showing right now, and just things haven't been able to go our way. So. You just try to stay as positive as you can and just go out there and continue to play hard.
It's extremely disappointing. Don't have a good, you know, I don't have anything to say about it. I mean, except just, you know, keep fighting and keep playing hard, play as hard as you can, and, you know, just plow ahead.
Things just continue to go bad for us. And, you know, we're not helping it any. So, you know, just with the penalties and, you know, lack of execution and stuff like that. So, you know, when you have those things happen, it sounds like a broken record, but, you know, you continue to lose. So.
All right, we have to take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Much more on the other side. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Some news this week, Mark Vandermeer. A couple changes, a couple moves. Go ahead and fill the fans in.
Well, Ben Tate is on injured reserve, Patty. It's too bad because he was 229 yards away from getting to 1,000 for the first time in his career. That would have been nice for him. But he's done for the year. Injured a rib that was previously injured against Kansas City. Hurt another one, so he's done. Now it's Dennis Johnson as your starter. They also have Deji Kareem, and they just picked up Jonathan Grimes, former Texans practice squad member, onto the 53-man roster. Those are your three running backs. I don't know how much, if any, Grimes is going to get in terms of action, but Kareem will probably get some carries like he did against Indianapolis, and Dennis Johnson, it's up to him to carry the ball well. Remember, he got in there a lot in kick return duty, and unfortunately, he might be kicked off to a lot in this game because you have Peyton Manning throwing the football. He's been scoring at will this season, pretty much. The other big news is, of course, Matt Schaub starting at quarterback. Case Keenum with the sprained thumb, so he can't go. You go back to Matt Schaub. There was discussion among fans and media. Do you go with T.J. Yates here or Schaub? You pretty much know what Schaub is overall. Yates, well, do you want to see him again? He hasn't gotten a start since the 2011 season. Did some mop-up duty in blowout time earlier this campaign. But Schaub gets the start. And boy, this harkens back to the meeting they had with Denver last year when Matt threw four touchdown passes and beat the Broncos. Of course, it was an ensemble effort, but it was a great day for him, maybe his signature game. And he's out there. I know he's looking forward to this opportunity.
And, you know, it's interesting because head coach Wade Phillips made the comment in his press conference when he told us that Matt would be getting the start that he kind of called out to the fans. He said, you know, I know our real fans will give him a warm welcome. A concern, you think, for the team, for Matt, for anybody as to how the reaction is going to be?
Well, here you are 2-12, Patty, so it's not like you're going to get that much worse. You could lose a 13th consecutive game, of course, and I don't know what the reception is going to be like. I think Wade is right. The real fans understand the situation, and the real fans want to see the team win. You know, people talk about, is it better to get a draft choice, whatever. Look, I work in this building. They want to win. I think you are doing a disservice to yourself, to your fans, to your organization, to whatever, by not putting your best effort out there. And Schaub certainly, I would think, gives them the best chance to win. People have to understand that.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling pretty good about Matt Schaub's performance this week. Not that that has anything to do with anything. But do you think, in your opinion, that Rick Smith, the team, the organization, saw and kind of got a good body of work from Case Keenum?
Case Keenum had 8 starts, Patty. That's a lot of starts in this league. That's more than T.J. Yates ever got. Think about it like that. In fact, my buddy Andre Ware, who I do the games with on radio, you know, he was a top 10 draft choice and everything. People evaluate his professional career all the time. Say, it didn't work out, whatever. They say worse things than that. And you know what? You know how many starts he got? 6, okay? So Keenum has 2 more than Andre. And I'm not crying for Andre here, and I'm not saying Case got too much of a leash, but we did get a good look at what he's capable of. Now, is it totally fair? Is that all he can do? No, I don't think so. I think Case can play a lot better. He has played a lot better, and maybe he'll get that opportunity next year, preseason, whatever, off-season workouts. He can continually prove his ability. But right now, he can't even go because of the thumb. It's not like you're talking about Peyton Manning or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, and, oh, he's got a hurt thumb, but he's going to gut it out. You don't need to play him under these circumstances, so they're going to go with Matt.
All right, well, you just mentioned Peyton Manning, so I'm going to bring him up here again. We had a chance to talk to Rick Smith, and he kind of just talked about this whole offense, the fact that they're coming in 40 points a game. Just your thoughts and expectations of what they're bringing and how the Houston Texans defend it.
They're bringing a lot of fury. That's what they're bringing. Peyton Manning is 4 touchdown passes away from setting the all-time NFL single-season touchdown pass record. It would be 51. He's at 47 right now. He could break it in this building on Sunday. They're going to try their best to prevent that. But Manning is perfectly capable of throwing for 4 touchdowns against any defense, never mind what we've been seeing here with a 2-12 football team. So I think everybody's attention is razor sharp here. They know it's the last home game. They played pretty well against the Patriots here a few weeks ago. I expect a great effort. Now, is that enough? I don't know. But Manning is putting up sick numbers. I mean, 37 years old to do what he's doing after the neck injury and everything. No one thought this was possible, but here he is doing it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Wade Phillips and this coaching staff coming out of the last game and going into these final two. Wade specifically made a point to do some things different, do some things different at practice, bring in officials to try and alleviate the penalty situation. That clearly didn't work out. But as he said, he is doing it again, and he still thinks that there's work to be done.
You have to do it, Patty. You cannot go back on the changes you made last week, the way they operate in practice, dropping special teams in the middle, offensively, not just doing straight running plays and straight passing plays, but mixing them up as you go. The officials, like you mentioned, they were out there again this week. It takes more than a week to get the results from this sort of thing. If that was all it took, oh my gosh, it was that easy a fix? You know, it was not, apparently, and they're going to have to continually work on it. Now, they only have two games left to show their stuff, and right now they have the best team in the AFC coming into this building. But you got to stick with the changes you made and hope that they take hold somehow. Back to the Shaab Keenum thing, I think it's really going to help to have Matt under center. I mean, I had the feeling against the Colts that if you had Matt in that game, because the way Case was playing, that they would have been able to move the football. I don't know about win the game, but move the football a lot better. You know, maybe the turnover bug bites again or whatever, but at least you'd have a better chance to win the game. And I'm with you. I got a feeling Shaab's going to show you some things on Sunday. Does that mean flawless performance? It's unpredictable at this point, but let's see what he can bring after sitting and watching for a while, see what changes happened.
Well, one guy who always shows us a few things and brings his game is J.J. Watt, and he will be sitting right here where Mark is. Mark is gone. J.J. Watt in after we come back. Be sure to go to HoustonTexans.com and register for your chance to win Lunch with a Texan, which includes lunch in the Texans cafeteria with the Texans Community Player of the Year. The nominees for Player of the Year honors are Whitney Mercilus, nose tackle Earl Mitchell, cornerback Kareem Jackson, and guard Wade Smith. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, as promised, J.J. Watt. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
First of all, let's, it's the holidays, Christmas time. Just kind of, give holiday traditions. Kind of what your family usually do in the holidays?
I've obviously been playing football for a while, and both of my brothers play at Wisconsin. So with the bowl schedule and my schedule, it's been tough the last few years. But I'm very fortunate this year. My brothers got a couple days off during their bowl preparation, so my entire family, my mom, my dad, and both my brothers will be down here for 2 days, and we're going to celebrate Christmas, and I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about this season. Obviously, you've, throughout the course of the season, shown frustrations at various points of how difficult it's been. As we're kind of heading down the home stretch here, just kind of take us through what the emotions of it have been like for you, coming off such success last year as opposed to this year.
It's extremely frustrating. Like you said, I've expressed it many times, and it's when you have such high expectations and high hopes and you see things going a certain way and you work to make things go a certain way and they go in the complete opposite direction, it's very frustrating. And it's unacceptable, and it's something that definitely cannot continue in the future, and I think that we all know that. And so definitely frustrated. Frustrated is a word I've used far too many times this year, but it encompasses everything.
Well, I get the word unacceptable, but you have to get up each and every week, come out here, and accept where you are. How do you, as a guy who's a young guy but a leader on this team, accept the situation and get yourself up and get your teammates to come out here and give it 110%?
I mean, there's no other option. I mean, for me, as a football player and as a person, there's nothing in me that would ever let me give less than my best, and a lot of guys on this team are the same way. And I think when, especially to make it to this level, you have to have that certain competitive streak about you. And even though you're in one of the toughest situations, that's when you find out the most about yourself. You find out what type of person you are, and if you're one of those guys that comes to work and just goes through the motions because you've lost a lot of games, or if you're one of those guys that comes and gives everything, every single thing that you have to try and fix it. And that's when you really learn a lot about yourself in tough times like this.
You know, so many of the things that you're talking about, and really most of them, they're out of your control. I mean, strange circumstances with injuries and, your coach having a mini stroke, just some weird things happening this season. Kind of, obviously something you've probably never been through before, and especially, like I said, when you come off such a successful season last season, just sort of an interesting dynamic, but maybe in the long term, kind of, I'm not saying by any stretch that this is a good thing to go through, but you said it is character building and maybe can give you kind of an overall perspective moving forward in your career?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that you have to take away from a season like this is you have to learn from it. You have to learn what went wrong, where it went wrong, and how you can fix it. And then you also have to take away how to handle yourself moving forward. And like you said, we face a lot of adversity this year. There's no doubt about that. There's been some tough situations. But we also don't make excuses. We'll never make excuses. And we'll accept the position that we're in and we understand how we got in this position, and we need to fix it and make it better moving forward.
Are those things you can learn as you're going through the season? As you said, you've got to learn from it, or are the emotions too high and it's something you might need to step back after it's over, look at it, kind of think about it and learn from that standpoint?
There are definitely things you can learn as the season goes. From a week-to-week basis, there's things you learn. But then I think once the season's over and you actually have a chance to sit down and look back on it, there will be more things to learn. But on a week-to-week basis, you're so focused on getting that win, and you pour everything you have into that, that definitely once you take a step back at the end, you'll have a little bit broader picture.
You know, and we've talked about this so many times with you, and it's no secret. I know you know it. You become such a fan favorite here. And the fans I know are so important to you. Even last week, where were we? Indianapolis. You know, there's a little girl out there. Mm-hmm. You're doing warm-ups. It's very important for you to take the time to go say hello to her, to just really take care of your fans. And that doesn't seem to be changing with you one bit.
No, that'll never change. That's one thing that I'm so appreciative and so thankful for the fans. I mean, we're in an extremely difficult time right now. I mean, we've lost a lot of games in a row, and most fan bases would call it in and call it quits. But my personal fans and then fans of the team have been so good throughout the entire year and throughout my entire career here that I'll never stop giving back to them, because I am so appreciative and I am so thankful for them. And then for the kids, I mean, I understand how one handshake, one smile, one little event can change a child's life. And so for me, why would I waste that? I mean, yeah, we're losing, but I'm not going to waste an opportunity to put a smile on a kid's face and give them a memory that'll last a lifetime when it only takes 10 seconds for me. So that's something that'll never change, and it's honestly one of the best parts of my job.
The job at hand this weekend, of course, is the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. No stranger to him. Just talk a little bit about what you expect to see from him and what you expect from your team this weekend.
Yeah, Peyton's having another year like Peyton. I mean, he's a great quarterback and one of the best of all time, and he's leading his team to some good things. They're coming into our building, and we have to play our game. And I think that if we can get back there and we can rattle him a little bit, make him uncomfortable in the pocket, and do what we know we can do, but we necessarily haven't been doing all year, we can do some great things. We just need to make sure we focus on ourselves, eliminate some penalties which have been hurting us all year. That's definitely a big deal. And then just play our game.
All right, I started this with some Christmas traditions. What about New Year's resolutions? Did you make any?
Win. That's my New Year's resolution. I mean, I understand how frustrated everybody is, the fans, the players, everyone in the organization. Like I said, this year is unacceptable. It's something that can't be repeated. And my New Year's resolution, I mean, I'm going to work as hard as I can possibly work, and I will promise you that since the day I came here until the day I leave, I will work as hard as I can possibly work to make this team win and to make this organization successful and to do everything I can for this fan base and this city.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, and hopefully that starts on Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, we have to take another time out, but don't go away. When we come back, Mark will be back, and we'll dig into the mailbag. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Santa Claus is here this time of year with his bag of toys, but each and every week, Mark is here with his mailbag.
Mailbag presented by the Texas Lottery with the Houston Texans scratch-off game. And for weekly winners, check out Facebook and HoustonTexans.com for Drew and Deepy with Mailbag.
Wow, you just get a little bit longer each and every
time. I know, I'm taking all the airtime.
Promo. All right, our first question comes from Chad. Chad wants to know, what's it actually going to take to get past Peyton Manning?
I'll tell you what it takes, Patty. The Texans have beaten Manning three times in team history, and each time they've had a back go over 100 yards. Last year, it was Arian Foster. It's only 105. They threw the ball very well in that game. You all know about the 2010 opener here in this building when Arian Foster ran for 231 yards. And in 2006, the first time they ever beat the Colts with Peyton Manning, it was Ron Dayne running for 153 yards and two touchdowns. Running the football keeps Manning on the sideline. Now, as I say that, it's not just about running the ball. You got to be able to convert third downs, make those key throws and all of that. And I'm glad that Schaub's going to have the chance to do this. Dennis Johnson is the running back du jour on Sunday. We'll see if he's able to get some yards against the Broncos, because if it's all up to the passing game, it's going to be a real tough task to match wits with Peyton Manning out there.
I wish you could have said Deji du jour. That would have been kind of fun.
Ooh, yeah, Deji, that's pretty dessert. Good. You're always thinking,
it's like
aren't
a dessert
you?
Or something. Yes, Deji dessert for dessert. All right, Michael would like to know, with these final two games, are these players, are their jobs on the line? Are they being even more scrutinized than ever?
I think so. I think you want to see who is playing hard at this time of year. With nothing to play for in terms of postseason positioning, you know that you're just playing for pride right now. What kind of pride do you have as a player? It's not just the games, Patty. How they go about their business and practice and all of that. You know, if we think about this, they do 5 weeks of OTAs, right? With no game to look forward to for months. Well, you got a game to look forward to. So come out to Wednesday and Thursday practice, get it all out there, because you got a chance to do something on Sunday in a meaningful NFL game. Now, not meaningful in terms of playoffs, but you know what? You're playing in front of the fans on TV and all that. You aren't in OTAs. So why not do your thing right now and show that you can make this squad next year?
All right, and finally, in the holiday spirit, Murray wants to know if you have any Christmas or holiday traditions.
Do I have Christmas traditions? Well, my tradition growing up was we opened our presents on Christmas Eve, right? Now it's Christmas morning because, you know, the wife tends to, like, sort of take over, that sort of thing.
We don't do that.
But on Christmas morning, I make Dutch pancakes really thin. They're like crepes. They're really tasty, and my child demands that I do this.
My child demands Eggs Benedict. That's our Christmas morning
really?
Breakfast tradition.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do they still wake up at the crack of whatever
no.
to open presents?
No, they're teenagers. We're up by noon. We're good to go. All right. Well, of course, this weekend is a fan appreciation game brought to you by Fox Sports Southwest out here at Reliance Stadium. So lots of activities, lots of fun going on here out at the ballpark, at the stadium.
At the ballpark.
At the ballpark. It is. The old ballpark.
And you know what? Stop by Budweiser Plaza to the Fox Sports Southwest stage with Texans Countdown Live, as you can get on TV, right? You can be on TV, just get right behind the set, and you'll be seen by the people watching Texans Countdown Live on Fox Sports Southwest, 10 a.m. Sunday.
10 a.m. Sunday, and then, of course, after the game, flip back over to Fox Sports Southwest for Texans Wrap Live, where hopefully, we are talking about a Houston Texans win.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be so nice. It'd be a Christmas gift.
Well, to beat Manning here, and remember, 2006, that was Christmas Eve when they defeated him for the first time. Now, it's a few days before, but it would be really fitting, I think, to get it done right now.
Let's do it. Have a great weekend, everyone.